you're looking for one of the most beautiful and playable custom acoustics on the planet, look no further than Ed Rice at Toe Ear Guitars. Ed is a true artist, transforming exotic woods into magnificent, sweet-sounding instruments. Go to toeearguitars.us, that's toeearguitars.us, and contact Ed today.
Hey everybody, Brad and I want to say thank you for listening and thank you for the support. Please continue to listen and share this podcast on all platforms that you can.
And if you'd like to support us monthly, we're set up now where you can go to anchor.fm/Top Hill Recording, hit the support button, 99 cents, $4.99 or $9.99 per month. Any amount would be greatly appreciated. Now back to the podcast. Top Hill Recording Podcast, episode 122. What's up, Neil?
What up?
Man, it was hotter than a mother today. How was it out there? Do you have air in your little post office machine?
I used to have the little box bread truck thing that would like bake you.
Yeah.
I've moved on up. I've got a Mercedes Matrix with air conditioner.
All right.
So it was awful, but it wasn't awful. It could always be worse.
Well, I played golf today and 3 of the 4 of us made it through 18. So,
well, you're by far the young one. So, yeah. You know, you're expected to make it through.
Yeah. So, what'd you bring us to drink?
All right, dude. Every time I walk through the door the past like 3 times, you've been like, where's that Wilderness Trail? All right. So, I finally got the Wilderness Trail. Down here. This is the single barrel cask strength. And so, this was the gift for the refi closing, which was cool. And then I just found out like percentage rates just went up to 6 today. It's like, oh my gosh.
Oh, you refinanced your home?
I probably shouldn't have said that, but yes. Might need to start over.
Yeah. All right. Well, cheers, man. We got a great guest here tonight. We got Taylor Shuck back with us. So it's good to have you, Taylor. You're here solo tonight.
Oh, yeah. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. You were with us with Mama Said String Band.
Yeah, sometime last year, right?
Yeah, yeah. Now we've got Taylor Shuck all alone. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers, man. Cheers. All alone.
It's good.
Yeah, it's good.
All right.
That's really good, yeah.
It's still going.
Yeah. It's got a little finish to it, doesn't it?
I knew you'd like it.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, let's talk real quick. I guess, Brad, since, you know, Taylor, you weren't there. What was it like yesterday at the Green Space opening down in Fairdale?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, I kind of expected a better crowd, but I don't know. I'm hearing June, July, and August are terrible to try to, you know, get people out sometimes. But
in the middle of the heat?
Yeah.
Like 2 p.m.?
Yeah,
4 p.m.?
Yeah, outdoor events when it gets hot rough. Like that. But y'all did pretty well, though, for practicing for rehearsing one time. So yeah. Taylor and Neil, he got pulled into a band that was just kind of thrown together last minute. They rehearsed one time and played, what, 90 minutes?
I don't know. How long did we play? I was blacked out.
You were blacked out?
Yeah.
Hot summer sun.
I deleted it. Deleted the whole performance. No, it was, I don't know how long it was, but I mean, I guess it went fine, right?
It was really cool down there, though. You know, I got there too late. I thought the car show was going until 6.
It was supposed to.
I mean, it didn't really sound that cool to me. It sounded pretty warm.
Yeah, well, cool was definitely not the right word.
Well, here's the funny part is I'm like, all right, let's all pack up and head up the hill. And I look over and Brad's walking to this bike that's on the, you know, pole. And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I ride a bike. I was like, you riding a bike? He's like, yeah, I ride a bike everywhere. Damn, South Park. And over here, I was like, you ride a bike to South Park, dude? And he's like, yeah, I ride like 15 miles. I was like, all right, dude. So next that's thing
my,
you know.
That's my thing this summer, man. I'm going to be a biker.
I'm telling you, you need the well, spandex
I guess I should say
suit.
Bicyclist. If I say biker, you picture a Harley.
You know? Need a damn helmet.
Nah.
And one of those suits.
You know, I don't know. I guess I probably should wear a helmet, but that's just, I wasn't brought up with bike helmets, bicycle helmets. And, you know, if you get hit by a car, is that little styrofoam thing going to help you?
It'll help you.
You think? A little bit.
It ain't going to hurt you.
It ain't going to hurt you, but it's going to make you hot. That'll hurt you.
I don't like your logic.
It probably makes sense to wear a helmet when you're riding a bike on a street.
Or down Mitchell Hill.
If you don't wear a helmet, you're going to turn into a banjo player. You're going to get hit. You're going to get some brain damage. And next so thing you know, you'll start playing banjo.
So I guess well, we were going to ask you how you started playing banjo, but now I guess we know.
Well, yeah. I was dropped down a flight of stairs as a baby and hit my head. The rest is history.
There we go.
I started because my dad wanted to learn and my mom... I don't think she was quite as keen on him taking lessons, so he turned it into a father-son bonding activity.
So you started with the banjo.
Yep.
Yeah, no okay. kidding. How old were you when you started?
Oh, I was 10.
Dude, what a cool... That, you know what, though? The cool thing is, you obviously dug it, and it really turned into that.
Yeah, yeah.
Does your dad... Did he ever pick it up? Did he learn...
Well, for a while, the banjo was kind of bigger than me. I was a pretty small kid, and he was doing great. He was doing way better than me until I, like, got big enough to actually play it. And then I, like, flew past him on banjo, so he bought a guitar, and I started playing the guitar and flew past him on guitar, so he bought a mandolin, and flew past him on the mandolin. Yeah.
Poor
like,
guy.
It's like dad, I feel really bad for him.
It's like, man, it all translates, Dad. If you get it, you get it.
Did you notice how Taylor just casually pulled us on topic?
Yeah, thank God you're good at this, man.
Man, thank you.
It's like you've done this before.
I've done it once or twice.
It's like, guys, I appreciate your podcast. Can you shut up, please?
No, I love the podcast. I listen to it when I'm folding laundry, when I'm going to the laundromat, when I'm driving home from the laundromat.
All right. All things associated with laundry. I hope we make you feel clean, not dirty. You know?
Usually, yeah. Hopefully I mean, it's like clean.
And then dirty. Or dirty then clean. I don't know.
Depends on how much whiskey's been drinking.
There you go.
So it sounds like you had music in the house.
A little bit, yeah.
From the start.
Yeah, they were hobbyists.
Yeah.
Yeah, so my dad was playing harmonica that entire time. He was a really good harmonica player. Never played out, but was getting into some of like the did all the cross harp stuff, did some of the Howard Levy stuff, and that's kind of where he dropped it.
So you started learning to play the banjo from your dad?
No, we went to get lessons together.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. So you actually went to do lessons. How long did you take lessons?
About a year.
Nice.
And then I took another set of lessons for maybe 6 months.
Two different teachers?
Yeah, one was when I was little, and then I didn't take lessons for a little bit. And then right around high school, I started taking lessons from a guy named Jim Smoke, who was one of Bill Monroe's bluegrass boys.
No kidding.
Yeah, but he wanted me to keep playing bluegrass, and I was in high school and wanted to play rock. So I kind of said, screw you, old man, and grew out my hair and bought an electric banjo.
Oh, rock banjo.
Do you ever think about that?
I think about it quite a bit. I always wonder, he's still alive and still teaching, and he was old when I started.
You need to go back and be like, okay, I'm ready. No, just see how he is, really. Just say, hey,
he is still teaching, and he must be in his 90s. He's got to be.
Where is he at?
He's at Anna Blanton's music store, which I think is called Kentucky Anna Music Center.
Okay.
So right in New Albany there.
Man, that's why I wonder how old he is. He was probably one of those guys. He was probably like 43 when he was giving you lessons, but he just looked 90.
No, he was definitely, he was up there for sure.
Well, Bill Monroe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was like one of the earlier Bill Monroe. I think he was in the 50s.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So how long did you play the banjo before you picked up any other instruments?
3 or 4 years. Then I went to guitar and mandolin and piano and whatever I could get my hands on.
Where'd you go to school?
High school?
Yeah.
I went to Eastern High School.
Okay. Do they have like any music program or anything like that, or were you just doing your own thing?
They do have a music program. I wasn't allowed in the marching band because I played a banjo. And I told them I could do other things, and they're like, we don't care. We heard banjo and you're out. So they had a choir program. I did that. And then I did, they had guitar classes.
And you did guitar?
Yeah.
I'm assuming.
And it's that's,
easy A. Well, yeah, for you, I'm sure. But speaking of, man, Fairdale High School is offering guitar 101 and 102, I think, or 201, whatever they did up. Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. Cool.
That's pretty awesome. I mean, I went to manual and I didn't even consider doing guitar. I don't know why. I regret that.
That's surprising. Yeah.
I didn't do anything with music.
Yeah.
I was playing, you know, ball.
Baseball. Yeah.
Glory days. Oh, no, sorry.
So is that gig coming back?
Outside of high school, when did you start publicly performing?
I played my first gig in fifth grade. It was a rehearsal dinner for a wedding, and I knew probably 12 songs. And they paid me $100. I don't know why they thought a 12-year-old needed $100 for
that's
music.
That's child labor laws.
I mean, I was making well above minimum wage with it.
That's true.
I played Somewhere Over the Rainbow probably like 12 times doing that. Played a bunch of bluegrass songs that no one knew. And yeah, just kept going from there.
No kidding. Fifth grade.
What about the first band?
First band was called Backtrack because we kept losing members and we had to backtrack. it never got to do originals because of the backtracking. And it was a cover band in high school.
And was that rock music?
Yeah, it was all classic rock kind of.
But you played banjo, you weren't on guitar?
No, I played banjo and I wanted to be like the Jimi Hendrix of banjo. So it was really just feedback the entire time. Not really good feedback either. Just
it's a shame we don't have any of those recordings.
There's got to be.
I don't know if that's a shame.
It had to be entertaining, dude. It had to be interesting.
Do you have any recordings of that time?
No, I think my parents are very grateful that there's not any recordings.
No videos or anything.
There was a couple on MySpace, but MySpace conveniently deleted all their videos.
Dude.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, Tom's got those videos somewhere to torture us all one day.
Seems like there's got to be some, Super 8? There's got to be some Super 8s or something.
Nah,
out there.
There ain't nothing.
Nothing.
There's nothing, dude. There's no answers coming to change it. So, all right, you're in high school, you're playing like classic rock tunes, like legit Skynyrd and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
Skynyrd,
and you're rolling on the banjo, which is instrumentation wise, I think would be very interesting to hear, especially knowing how you play. I mean, I could imagine, I don't know if high school Taylor could pull it off how you could now, but it would be interesting to just hear what that sounded like. I guess that's why it would be fun to have a recording of it.
Oh, yeah. But I'm just trying to, I'd love to hear it.
But what took you, I mean, like, was the shift over gradual to start playing other stuff, or was like going to school, because you went to college for music, which was guitar, right?
Yeah, I did that in guitar.
You went to guitar. So, I mean, was that switch what kind of led you into what you're into now and your own?
Yeah, kind of. I started getting into like writing my own instrumental music. I did composition as well.
Okay.
So I was trying to write a bunch of classical music, and I eventually just kind of went back to banjo probably like my last year, mostly because I'd been trying to build a banjo curriculum and my college told me no a lot. So I was, and it's telling me no is a great motivator. I will always do something if you tell me not to. So I started doing a lot of banjo, trying to build a program, even though they were like, we're going to take your scholarship and stuff like that. So after that, I was
rebel,
unemployed.
I like it.
I mean, if you can call trying to do extra work in academia a rebel.
In academia? That's what they call it.
No. I joined some hippie bluegrass bands after college because I was on the banjo train again. And that's kind of what got me back into it. So I did that. Then I played with Nick Jamerson, and he's the one who got me into songwriting.
You know, you talking about composition.
Yeah.
Being part of your curriculum and thinking about all the, you know, just in by the time you were out of high school, you have played several instruments and are hearing all the things that you can do with that, knowing even the bluegrass setup and then playing classic rock, even with the banjo instrumentation and that. I could imagine that weaving in composition was almost a little bit more natural for you than some.
Probably.
Did it seem that way? Did could you get a sense that maybe some people struggle with it and you're kind of like, eh?
I think some people just care too much. they really want things to be good instead of fun.
Yeah.
And it's like the fun is kind of where things become good, I think. So,
yeah. That makes sense. But it's almost surprising considering how technical you play.
Yeah, but I mean, the only reason I'm playing that technically is just because I want to have fun with it.
Challenge and, yourself.
Yeah, and also see what I can get away with. And playing really technically, I think, comes from messing up a lot.
Yeah. You start playing with bluegrass bands. And I mean, when you were in here last time, you were with Mama Said, which I don't think you have transitioned out of that now, because I imagine distance is a big part of that.
You've moved to Nashville recently, right?
I did move to Nashville. Yeah, I was driving up every week. I was actually spending more time in Louisville than I was in the apartment that I was renting.
Oh.
But it kind of worked out because right when I parted ways with them, gas prices just shot up.
Yeah.
And I was like, score. I don't have to spend $60 each trip.
Yeah. You're in Nashville now.
Yes, I am. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So how's that transition been for you?
Man, the driving is so scary down there.
Dude, it's insane. I mean, it's
so scary.
Everywhere you go is stop and go and just, it's packed.
Yeah. Like there was a driver that tried to pass me in the shoulder maybe 3 weeks ago. And then he couldn't because it was rush hour. So I got over because he was going to run into me, and he was like, I don't know how he was driving. I don't know what part of his body was holding onto the wheel, but he was hanging out the passenger window trying to yell at me on this busy interstate. And I was kind of just impressed, honestly.
Give me thumbs up. Hey, great job.
Yeah. I mean, like it was, I've never seen someone, he must've been driving with like his, left foot on the steering wheel or something.
That is wild. People get mad in traffic, dude.
They
do. I don't know why. I got a buddy Spencer. We got a buddy Spencer. And if I'm talking to him, like if he's got me on speaker on the way home or something, he gives me a quick cough. I mean, we can be on the phone 47 seconds. If he's driving, he'll yell at least one person. Oh, you got to be kidding me. I'm like, dude. Relax.
Settle down. He's a very fast driver, too.
Yeah, he's going to be the guy hanging out, driving by his foot, yelling at somebody else.
But you know, that's impressive. It really is. Like, it takes a lot of core strength to be, like, supporting your body. And
I don't know. People need to calm down.
Yeah.
But you're right, it is impressive.
Yeah. Do you get road rage?
Me?
Neil, yeah.
No, what?
I don't either.
No. I don't give rage at much of anything.
You, Taylor?
Oh, no. I drove a car without a horn for years.
I did too. Well, kind of.
I don't understand road rage, really. Nah. Like, I mean, like, what makes you so angry?
Yeah. Why? Well, I mean, you know,
Well, everybody knows I'm going to be late anyways, so it doesn't really matter.
You were right on time today, really. I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
I did. Yeah, I did speed a little bit, but that's just because there was no cars on the road.
Well, you're not used to that coming from, you know, Nashville. No.
But you were not in Nashville. You didn't come from Nashville today. You came from Lexington, correct?
Yeah, I came from Lexington. Okay. I was recording my solo album.
Ooh.
So I had Ellie Miller, who I think did an episode with you all not too long ago.
Yeah.
Under the project Ellie Ruth.
Ellie Ruth.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did a lot of the fiddle and viola.
She's
and
the
some
best,
harmonies
man.
For me.
I'm sure that wasn't even fun to hear.
No, I was a bit, you know.
Yeah. She kills it.
Her playing.
Yeah.
She's unbelievable. Yeah. If she just was not so mean. She's so mean. No, she's like the nicest. She's like so the nicest sweet. Human being alive, man. She's so nice. And
yeah,
I couldn't imagine. I
mean, and can play.
Oh, these two together?
Man, I can't wait to hear that.
Woo.
Well, actually, we used to have a band that we were in together called Hill House.
Good setup. Gosh, yeah. Look at this, man.
I mean, that's just honestly the only other bands outside of like Mama Said and playing with Nick and Still Holler. Okay, there's a lot of bands.
I was going to say, he's going to keep naming
Never mind. no, that was one of the more recent ones. And we did some recordings and stuff. And yeah.
Awesome.
So where are you recording in Lexington?
I'm recording with a guy named Dwayne Lundy, who he worked with Ben Solee a bit.
Yeah.
He's done stuff with Sturgill and all sorts of folks. And he's just a really fun guy to hang out with.
Nice.
So tell us a little bit about Hill House and then we'll listen to 2 Extra Hours.
All right. That was a band that we started because we were all side guys and exasperated by it. So we started a little Facebook group chat called Exasperated Instrumentalists. we got together to jam. And next thing you know, we were like, oh, let's do gigs. And then someone was like, hey, you all should record an EP to do some booking. And after that, we were like, okay, we'll do that. And then they said, oh, you all have a lot of songs. And we were like, let's do an album.
What was the lineup?
It was me on banjo, Ellie on fiddle, Andy Brown, who was in a band called the Kentucky Cowhands, and also I'd been in other side.
Bass like, player?
Yeah, he's a bass player.
Well, he also plays guitar and can sing like a dude.
He has such
bass.
A good baritone.
Oh my God,
so,
dude.
Such a good singer.
It's so smooth.
Andy, if you're listening to this, I love you.
yeah, come on, man. Come on in.
Yeah, let's come talk. On in. And Isaac May on guitar and mandolin. And all of us were singing with it and writing songs.
Mm.
And 2 Extra Hours, I guess, was one of yours you brought to the group.
Yep. It's about a breakup that happened because I didn't have 2 extra hours to drive.
You were running late.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? I bet she had road rage. Had an attitude like yeah. that.
I think I caused the road rage.
2 extra hours.
I wish there's more time for us to catch a spark. Maybe a distance that wasn't so far apart. I wish I had a chance to do everything. I'm booking a one-way ticket to better memories. I'm just booking a one-way ticket to better memories. Oh Lord. And if I had 2 extra hours, I would drive through the night. I would be by your side just so you wouldn't go to bed alone. If I had 2 extra hours, maybe things could have worked out. I bet there'd be less to doubt. And you could come around, and I could come around. I never got the chance to apologize, 'cause the way that I treated you wasn't quite right. Time makes us fonder of the years we got, but memories are sweeter when they're far off. I said now memories are sweeter when they're so far off. And if I had 2 extra hours, I would drive through the night. I would be by your side just so you wouldn't go to bed alone. If I had 2 extra hours, maybe things could have worked out. I bet there'd be less to doubt. And you could come around, and I could come around.
Yeah, dude, I love that.
Oh yeah,
I do love that.
That's a damn solid band.
Yeah. It was a fun band for sure.
Oh, I could imagine.
How long did you all play as the Hill House?
That was probably about a year and a half or so, So it was a really short-lived thing. Moved very fast. It all kind of peaked with this trip in California where I got a call one day and they were asking me, hey, can you get together three banjo players to play a wedding in California? And I just said, is this a scam? Because would you all ever want three banjos in the same room?
It's like it's like a bagpipe orchestra at a funeral.
Yeah, one's bad enough. And they said, well, we want you all on a canoe. And I said, that's never going to happen. How am I going to convince people of this? So I said,
we want you to what?
In a canoe, man.
Yeah, they wanted us in a canoe for this wedding. And it... And I said, no, but I might be able to get a bluegrass band together that would be like not three banjos and would be a banjo and a few other instruments that don't have five strings. And they called the people who were having the wedding and they called me back and said that was fine. They said, could you all do it for $750? And I said, that's kind of low. I don't think that'll cover the flight out there. And they said, no, that's per person per day. And they flew us out there and it turned out to be the wedding for the daughter of a billionaire. And this is really where we peaked. Andy couldn't make it. He was playing other gigs and he really missed out because it was a crazy, crazy wedding.
How did they connect to you?
A band had backed out and my mom's family friend's sister is Keith Whitley's ex-wife.
That's so many degrees of separation.
Your mom's what?
Say that. Mom's family friend's sister.
Yeah.
So her one of her best friends is named Becky Littleton.
All right, Becky.
And Becky's her sister's name is Kathy Whitley.
Kathy.
And the ex of Keith Whitley.
Okay.
One of the exes.
Not Lori Morgan.
No, not Lori. But Kathy's a booking agent and they wanted banjos and she was like, well, I'll just give it to Taylor because I had been like writing her little like Christmas cards and stuff, trying to get her to like approve of me and book me and stuff.
Smart man.
Yeah. You know, Christmas cards are great for that. And she gave me that gig because it sounded weird. And yeah, it was a crazy wedding. Nancy Pelosi was there. She stole my drink.
You told us the story.
This is that wedding.
That's the wedding.
Okay.
And that's where Hill House kind of like peaked.
So what happened with Nancy Pelosi again? Remind me of that.
Oh, she came into the green room and she was already probably pretty drunk because it was a wedding that lasted for like 3 days. And she was like, hi, I'm Nancy and this is my husband, Paul Pelosi. And they were introducing themselves to everyone. It was a whirlwind of commotion. And I had a drink that had sat down to talk to her. And she went to go talk to more people and I looked to go get my drink after she was finally done and it was gone from that ledge and I saw a drink that she did not walk in with in her hand.
Took your drink.
Yes.
How many years ago was this?
This was three, maybe 4 years
ago. So she was 117 then.
She was eight. She was timeless.
Yeah. You're going to be the one that gets the follow-up on this one from the Secret Service. You talking about Pelosi? Yeah.
So did you ever find out what the original concept or what they were going for with three banjos in a canoe?
I have no idea. They also they bought a Ferris wheel to bring in and they weren't allowed to bring that in either. I think the wedding just didn't go quite according to plan. Still was a great wedding, but...
Oh, wow. I bet when you got there, man, I should have asked for more money.
That's exactly what I thought. The first thing, I was like, $4,500 total? That's kind of...
That's
kinda
pretty,
low.
Yeah. Come on, that didn't even feel that. The boat costs more than that you're sitting in.
Well, they didn't even have a pond.
Shut up. They were supposed to dig it, but the backhoe wasn't permitted.
Yeah.
So what did you just sit there?
Well, so the first day they had a music festival on a stage with like at a hotel. So I was on a stage that day.
That makes sense.
And then the second day, they positioned there was like seven bands or something like that for this wedding. And they positioned us all in different spots just to be ambiance. And then...
How many people do you think were there?
At the wedding?
Yeah.
I have no clue. They had like
huge.
Yeah, I didn't... They kept all the workers separate from the wedding itself. But there was probably like... I would say 200 or 300 at the festival part and more for the actual wedding. And
I guarantee you those people are no longer married.
Oh, no.
I bet they are.
Oh, yeah?
I mean,
it's
like...
It's a business?
Well, I think... I'm not 100% sure if this is the story of that couple, but the daughter who was getting married, her mother owned a real estate kind of business in San Francisco and also one of the big Broadway theaters. So they were billionaires. And if I remember correctly, the guy was a janitor at the theater. So it's kind of like a Hallmark relationship. And, you know, in Hallmark, there's no sad endings.
And plus, you know, Hallmark, that makes the three banjo thing make sense. Because only a Hallmark movie would have something like that.
I'm just picturing, you know, sitting around planning this wedding. And you know what we need? We need three banjos in a canoe.
Have to have it. We're disappointed when they got the phone call saying that it was four banjos, by the way. Could you imagine the disappointment? I wonder who they called. I wonder if it was like, all right, another theoretical. What if nobody said, we need four banjos in a canoe?
Oh, they wanted four banjos.
Four banjos in a canoe, right?
Yeah.
All right, so what if nobody really said that? It was like a wedding planner going, here's what we need. We need this. We need a Ferris wheel. We need four banjos in a canoe. And then...
Trying to be
somebody
funny.
Making it happen. No, it was serious, but there was a thought process to it. I don't know.
Well, but then you got to think, how old is this wedding planner? If they're wanting like a Ferris wheel.
Seriously. And,
yeah.
I don't know. Mom show over there. Well, you know what though? If you're a billionaire, you can just make up whatever. Do whatever you want for a wedding.
I did talk to her and she said that sometimes she works at this flea shop so she can get better deals early before anyone else buys certain clothes.
What?
And I was like, what?
Just buy the shop.
The billionaire does that?
that's what she said.
Yeah. Well, okay.
I like her. Yeah. I like her. She married a janitor.
Well, no, her daughter married a janitor.
Oh, her daughter. Oh, that was the mother?
Yeah, the mother was the one who was the billionaire.
And she will sometimes get a job. So, wow.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I bet she also tips the Uber driver $1.
$7.
I bet she tipped pretty well. She was actually really nice. she was such a sweet person. And they had like an open coffee bar and an open bar for all the workers.
Mm. All right.
Last time I took an Uber, the ride was like $6.58 or something. What? Crazy low. And when I got on the app, have you ever noticed like...
You only can tip so much, right?
Well, the app... It defaults to the lowest tip you can give it. It defaults to $1. Why would they do that?
That's ridiculous.
And I asked the driver, I said, do people really give you $1 tip? He said, yeah, all the time. I said, they ought to make this app, you know. I said, they ought to make it default to at least the middle. It was 135 that day. I don't know if it gets bigger, you know, the bigger rides. And at least 3 or, you know, 5. And he was telling me that... He went, I won't mention the name, but it's an NFL, big NFL quarterback. He went to his dad's house in a multi-million-dollar house and picked him up and took him to the airport. And this NFL quarterback's dad that just left his multi-million-dollar house tipped him $1.
Well, dad might be broke.
I got something to confess.
He might have been in there going, hey, son, can I have some money? I'm broke. And his son was like, nope. And he said, I got to call an Uber. And then he called an Uber and he had $1 left.
Maybe so.
Maybe.
I'm not going to lie. I did not tip like my first 3 Uber drivers because I didn't know how. I could not figure out the app and I feel so bad. They were so nice too. One of them was like giving me snacks.
I hope you at least
waters.
Gave them a 5-star review, well, just man. So you
know, I didn't know how to give reviews yet.
I did the same thing, Taylor, so don't feel bad. But then I found out that you can go back and it kind of catalogs all your rides and you can go back at any time. Like I could go back now and tip a driver from...
No, you can't.
3 rides ago.
Might have just saved you.
I don't even know what that account information was.
That's a good answer to say I'm not tipping those guys.
Yeah, no, I haven't used Uber in so long at this point.
Here's the thing. You could have erased Uber off your phone and you can get it from the store or whatever, App or Play Store, and then it'll probably have all your information on it already.
Let's do it
right
now.
All
right,
do it. I bet
guarantee it.
I bet it does.
I mean, we'll see. I'm getting on my phone right now.
All right. This is a test of, this is an information test to see what type of stuff.
The only time that that never works is when you buy a new phone and they try to upload your contacts.
I mean, this is a new phone. I lost my phone at a... I lost my phone at Romp last year.
You know, I always follow little directions on my new phone, you know, download to the cloud, and, you know, whatever that is, blah, blah, blah. And then you re-upload and my contacts are never there. But this last time I did it, only some of the contacts were there.
Because you've got to pick where you want to save your contacts and then get them from.
It doesn't have my rides.
That's too much trouble.
What?
No, look, see, your trips. It doesn't show nothing. Sorry,
guys.
Uber drivers.
You'll never get the tip.
Such a sad time.
You mentioned you're still playing with Ellie from time to time. What about the other guys in Hill House?
I play with them for like little pickup gigs here and there. We had done a couple of small little corporate gigs with Hill House during the pandemic stuff after we had all parted ways, just kind of make some extra money and not have to rehearse. Because we all knew all the songs. It was really handy.
And definitely makes it easier.
It makes it so easy. It's so nice to like do zero preparation for a gig. I mean, you had a rehearsal mm-hmm. for yours.
Well, trust me, it was needed. We needed about 8 more.
I think they kind of changed the key in a lot of
songs. Well, here's the thing. If we had 8 more, there'd be 8 different rehearsals on the same songs. They'd all be different. So when we come, it'd be worse. So it might have been the best case scenario.
Did you guys remember the lyrics, Taylor?
I think they did. I usually just forget my lyrics and keep making them up until I'm at the chorus again.
It works.
I gotta start doing that.
I don't think fast enough to do that.
Oh, you get some really interesting things if you start doing that.
I go straight Wheeler Walker though, dude. I can't do anything but stupid, you know, lyrics like that. Unfortunately.
Yeah, it's fun. It's great.
Yeah. He doesn't think it's funny.
I listened to him again, man.
And
actually yesterday.
Did you think it was
funny?
I'll
tell you, here's what it is. Here's why it gets old to me so quick. It reminds me of like the fifth grade boy that's trying to make all the other fifth grade boys in class laugh by just saying pussy and dick a lot.
That's what I do.
I mean, but is that not
funny.
Just the entire 19...
funny?
Girl. I mean, yeah, it's hilarious.
Dude,
but that's music.
He still thinks farts are funny, but he doesn't think that's funny.
Well, I mean, gosh, that's just farts are just funny.
Farts are hilarious.
I mean, people have been saying that for centuries or millennia.
Dick jokes, man. Come on. Drop them out. I mean, that's a funny song. Drop them out. Come on, man. All right. Back to regular schedule.
I'll give it to you. I'll give you one song that's funny.
Yeah. Which one?
Then I'm done. Any of them.
Yeah, you can pick one. You don't have to be a dedicated listener where that's all you listen to over and
I got
over
a again. Hilarious song that I will do for you after this. If you want one funny song, it's called Constipation Nation.
See? I want it.
It's about the 2020 toilet paper crisis.
There we go. That might be the closing, bonus one shot.
Let's do the closing song on this. You can do it on this mic.
I could.
Bonus.
When did you connect with Mama Said? How did that roll about?
That happened immediately after Hill House all split up. We were all splitting up because of the pandemic and because I was writing songs like Constipation Nation. And Mama Said also was going through some changes. Everyone, I think, was going through changes at that time, right? Mm. Like we were all...
Yeah.
I was really relieved personally. I loved the pandemic. I thought it was great.
For what reasons?
Oh, I got to stay home.
It's like, let's have another one.
I got to cook. Mm-hmm. I got this job that no one, people called at the very beginning. I was working for the Kentucky COVID hotline and people would call with like weird conspiracy theories. One person said, if I get COVID, does that mean I have AIDS? And I was like, probably not. Now, those are two different diseases.
I would say specifically for you, maybe, just for asking, but...
I mean, that's a real question. That's a real question that I got on that hotline. And someone else was like, I'm from Germany and there's a pandemic. Can I come over to America and go golfing? And I said, well, probably not. This doesn't seem like a good idea. There's a pandemic.
A global pandemic, sir.
And he was like, well, can you look it up for me? Because I didn't have that information of can Germans come over and play golf during a pandemic. They didn't train us for that question.
How dare you?
And the answer was, yes, they could come over and play golf. So I said, here's the deal. If you can get on the plane and get over here, you're welcome to. No one's going to stop you, but please don't.
Did you really?
Yep, that's exactly what I said to him.
I'm not listening to you, but American.
Like, but after after a couple weeks, though, like those calls just stopped. So I was getting paid to do nothing.
Like literally?
Yeah, I would just put my phone on airplane mode and stay logged in.
So, was this a home job?
Yeah, it was a remote job with the Kentucky. It was so nice. And it kept going. So I was doing nothing. Mama said they were all also figuring out themselves with the pandemic, and a couple people moved to Oregon, as you do during a pandemic. And I was like, hey, we're all trying to figure. Actually, I was going over to one of their houses to get dinner and try to figure out what I was going to do. And as I was crossing the bridge into Indiana, I got a phone call and said, hey, we're having trouble. So you're going to have to sit there through our conversations. And I kind of like helped try to mediate those conversations. And we all jammed afterwards while really sad, because it was, you know, it's sad when those things happen. And we were like, well, shoot, let's just keep doing stuff. And that's how I got into Mama Said. It was a weird turn of events.
So it was
that is.
Oh, that is interesting. You went over as a therapist and ended up as a banjo player.
Yeah, you know, it happens.
So who did you come in with? Were you by yourself, or were they going through? They lost a couple members. Was it a five piece before that?
It was a five piece before that. Okay. Yeah, I was just going in because I'm really good friends with a lot of them, and they're like, hey, it's unfortunate that you're going through this. Let's make you dinner. Little did I know.
You're being set up.
In the midst.
Yeah, there you go.
In the midst of that, you make a decision to take off, huh? Move out of town.
Well, I had been looking at Nashville for a long time. And I was thinking at the time that it would be a good idea to kind of try to help whoever I'm playing with at the time. You know, it's good to have someone in Nashville, because a lot of big artists are out of there.
Oh yeah,
and I just ran across. Actually, I had kind of given up on looking for a second, but then someone messaged me and said, "Hey, we have a room open for $375 a month," and I was like, "Well, that's cheaper than what I'm paying now."
Mm-hmm.
And
that's unbelievably cheap.
That's so cheap in Nashville. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, shoot, I guess I got to do it.
And yeah, that's when the universe is kicking there. You.
I'm trying to stay busy. It's a scary place. I got held at knife point by a prostitute down there.
What was his name?
You shouldn't be approaching those ladies.
I don't remember. I was not trying to hire the prostitute. I was trying to get Jack in the Box.
Or you should at least.
You were trying to get Jacked in the Box, man. They almost jacked
Taylor,
you for everything you got.
You did like Uber, man. You got the service and didn't tip.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. So the Jack in the Box. Do we got time for this?
Sure.
It's like a 20-minute story.
Yeah, dude. I never care. He might.
This Jack in the Box, at whatever hour they decide, they say it's DoorDash only, so you got to go download DoorDash. And it was the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. I was sitting in my car downloading DoorDash because I don't have DoorDash. And this lady came up and knocked on my window, and I ignored her. I was a little tipsy because it was a honky tonk Tuesday, and you know, I was dancing, drinking. And you get tipsy when you do those things. But she kept knocking for like 5 minutes, and I was just staring at my phone trying to ignore her. So I rolled down the window and I said, what? And she said, it's cold out. And I just live right off Tampa Drive, which it's only half a mile away. That's right out the same road that I live on. And she said, I was just wondering if you could give me a ride to my house. And I said, well, sure, I guess I can do that. I live over there as well. And I moved all the books. I'd bought a bunch of books that day, so I didn't ever look at her. I was busy moving stuff out of the passenger seat to give her a ride. And I moved all the books into the back, unlocked the car, and she got in. We made some small talk about whatever. I don't remember what it was about.
Is this what you told the officer?
Is this what I what?
Told the officer?
Oh, no. Nothing happened with an officer.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
But it gets wild.
That's his code word. We made small talk.
No, we didn't. There was nothing like that. No, I was just like, oh, it is cold outside. Are you doing anything for Thanksgiving?
Do you know where it's not cold?
Happy holidays. Do you like Black Friday? Because I don't like Black Friday. Things like that, you know. And we got to the apartment, and we got to this apartment complex, and she said, I'm in that one back there. So I drove to the apartment complex, unlocked the car, put the car in park, and said, okay, you're home now. I hope you have a good night. And she said, give me $10 and I'll suck your dick. And I said, no, I was just doing this because it's Thanksgiving weekend and you're supposed to be good to people. And she took the keys out of my ignition. And y'all know those like little inch long Swiss Army knives?
Mm-hmm.
She like awkwardly fished one of those things out and was like fumbling with it and trying to open it. And she put my keys against the passenger window. And she said, I said, give me $10 and I'll suck your dick. And I'm tipsy and not intimidated because the knife is not as big as the fat layer on my stomach. And, and I said, no, give me back my keys. And she said, no, give me $10. And I was trying to intimidate her. So I at a certain point, I was like, man, I really don't want to get in a knife fight with a prostitute tonight. So I yelled at her and I yelled, give me back my effing keys. And she said, you do not need to be disrespecting me that way by raising your voice and using that kind of language. And I said, yes, I do. You're committing at least 3 felonies right now and all of them are directed at me. I just want a jack in the box. And she's still holding the knife.
She's like,
my
this
keys.
Ain't no box, boy.
And she's still holding the knife and my keys. And she's like, well, I need $10. And I said, you found me at a jack in the box. What makes you think I got $10? It's 2 tacos for $1.50. And she said, she was just adamant about it. And I told her, you're very rude. And also you're wasting your time because I don't got $10. And, after it just wasn't going anywhere. So like 20 minutes in, we're arguing back and forth about this. I've told her that she could be making more money if she had just taken a ride back and gotten in someone else's car. I also told her that that's really cheap and she probably needs to raise her prices. And after a while, she was still saying, I need $10. So I said, I'll check the center console. But I was getting 2 tacos, so there's probably like $4 in there. And sure enough, there were $4 bills in the center console, and I gave them to her. And she counted them, put the knife away, and still had my keys against the passenger window. And she said, I need more than that. And I said, well, I got coins. At this point, I'm not really that worried about it. I mean, like, she's robbing me for basically nothing. And I said, I got coins. You want those? And she didn't really say anything. She just nodded her head vigorously. And y'all know the gimme motion
uh-huh.
that like people will do when they want money with their hand.
Yeah.
She did that. So I got these coins out and she said, now count them. And I'm...
She's feeling in control.
She's really yeah. feeling in control. And yeah, it was a lot of coins.
She was your pimp, dude. She was pimping him the first time ever. She was... the tables were turned.
Just a total power trip. But I was tipsy and not doing anything else at the time besides being held at knife... Well, not even at knife point anymore. So I did count him for her. And it was like...
So she put her knife away by this point, huh?
Yeah, she had put her knife away at this point. So I handed them to her and it was like $4.23 or so worth of coins.
You're
she
almost dropped there.
Like, yeah, she dropped half of them. And she said, well, I guess I could suck your dick for that. And I said, no. And she said, well, why not? And I said, I don't know. I'm just not in the mood for that right now. And she said, did you not see how I was dressed? And I said, no, did you not see all the stuff I had to move in my passenger seat to be a good Samaritan and give you a ride? And she started feeling bad at this point because she realized that I was not actually like looking for anything. And she said, well, I'm sorry. I could pay you back tomorrow. And I said, no, you aren't. Why would you even offer that? Like, this is such a paltry amount of money. You're probably going to be using it tonight. And she said, well, thank you. And I said, well, I'm not thankful, but do you need a ride back since clearly you're still working? And And she said no. So I said, well, okay, give me back my keys and get out of my car. And she did. And I just sat there for a minute, just processing everything that took place. So I drove back. I was thinking about still getting Jack in the Box. I was still hungry. And I had way more than $10. I just wasn't going to tell her that. So I drive past the Jack in the Box and I see her there again. So I just kept going and went home.
Do you wave at her every time you go by now?
I do think about that every time I see Jack in the Box. And I have not eaten Jack in the Box since.
She ruined Jack in the Box for him.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
So that's what Nashville's been like. Yeah. But I do love it. You get stories like that. And I've made like $40 off of it. So.
So kids, never try to be nice to give a prostitute a ride home.
Yeah. Never works out.
Yeah, I heard a couple cuss words, so I figured this one's already going to have to be explicit anyways.
We're good.
Yeah. All right. So we've moved into Mama Says String Band. Tell us about Peace of Mind and we'll listen to that one.
Yeah, that one's a song about, I write a lot of breakup songs. This is about one of my friend's breakups. I've tried writing a song that wasn't about myself for once. And I had done it with some other people before, but with Mama Said, we were trying to come up with content to really show that we are all songwriters and advertise that. So that was the first song that I had that was really fleshed out with them. And we just went for it. It was really fun.
All right. Peace of mind.
Peace of mind.
It's been a little while since we talked out loud. I know there's ways to change, strange things I see. There's been time, we're different now. No matter what you say or do, find myself stuck back on you. It's different every time. This peace of mind I only find. On my mind, and then I'd be back onto you, and I was lost with feeling blue. It ain't right, I was out of line. No matter what you say or do, find myself stuck back on you. It's different every time. This peace of mind I only find.
Oh, how in the world do you move all your fingers in sync together that quickly?
And how do you have so many breakup songs when you can move your fingers like that? You know what I'm saying?
Hey-o. That's a good question right there. Dang.
That's a lot of hours of practice is what it is.
Yeah, it's probably because I keep doing it with the banjo instead.
You need to refocus, man.
Yeah, you played that on one shot last time you were here with Mama Said, didn't you?
Yes. I think we did another song, actually. We did one that's really, really similar to it called Don't Leave the Keys.
No way. Because I know that song.
Yeah.
I feel like I do.
Yeah.
I think that was during the podcast the last time.
You know what? And I did listen to that. That a lot on
that banjo break is great.
No, thank you. I forgot how much David's solos rip on that.
David plays with force.
He really does. Like, he's such an interesting player.
He is a very he attacks the fiddle.
Yeah.
To where Ellie plays the fiddle. There's like a more...
It's like a yin and a yang kind of deal.
Yeah, Ellie is more, has a relationship with the instrument where David tells the instrument what's going to happen or something. And there's just like
I hear you, Neil. That's good, man.
Appreciate that. But yeah, I mean, it does. That's what it feels like. It's just that he is... I was thinking that when I was listening to it, is that it is an attack.
It is. It's a really cool attack, though. It's mm-hmm. like a... Yeah, I don't even know how to describe it. It's maybe like Jeff Buckley's guitar playing.
It's just powerful, man. I mean, it is. It's own little entity.
It is.
And I like... You know, I like the fact that he uses he says a lot without a ton of movement, and he uses a lot of double string combination stuff that is interesting and cool. Yeah, you're right.
So Taylor wins. What's the timetable on your solo stuff, man?
So I'm going to be releasing from the time that we're talking about this, I'm going to be doing one or two more days in the studio to finish up the vocals. And maybe recut a couple small instrument parts here and there. And then I'm going to do 3 singles, which will be done probably in October, November, and December. And I'm looking at a January release for the album.
Okay.
Well, all right.
January 2023.
Doing the long plan, huh?
Yeah.
Full album, I'm assuming, with that?
Yeah, it's going to be 12 songs.
Dang.
Yeah, it's a lot. I didn't realize how... when you're doing it with a band, it's so much easier.
Mm.
Recording is just like with the band, you know, there's like 4 or 5 people to do all the parts, and you don't have to like pay all of them. They're all paying as well to do the album.
Yeah.
And with this, it's kind of like, I have to pay everybody and I have to plan everything. And they're asking me what to do.
Yeah.
And it's a really weird experience, but it's been really fun.
Do you find yourself kind of enjoying that more, being the director of things? Well, I mean, it kind of comes back to music composition, you know? It's kind of the same thing, but with everything instead of just the music.
You know, it's really interesting that you ask that, because yes and no. I mean, when I really look back at what I've been doing with these recordings, there's totally ideas that I've taken from like my time with Hill House and time with Mama Said and just put directly into those songs. It's been a bit of a mixture. I do enjoy getting to fully realize the idea behind a song, and I thankfully have the vocabulary to really tell people what I'm hearing in my head with it. But I really enjoy hearing other people's input on my stuff as well.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
The collaborative process in music is something I'm learning later in life is a key to getting more out of what you're doing.
It is. Well, and when you think about the history of music, music and dance evolved together, right?
Mm.
So like those are both part of ceremonies for people. And both of those things were done in communal aspects. So that collaborative nature has been there from the very beginning. And I think when you get too far away from it, you really do miss out on something really special with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can internalize way too much if you continue just to stay in your own thing.
Yeah. Too. But also I got an ego and I love being a control freak, so.
Well, and that's okay too, man. It's okay too. But how great is it to be able to call on some of these people that you have built these trust relationships with music and know that, you know, when they're asking you what time do I show up and what do you think about this, and you can really have their input on what your vision is and then get that actual product at the end. How's that feel, man? It's got to feel awesome.
It's been really special. Every single person that I have on this album, I haven't hired anyone that I don't know and haven't played with on the road. So like Ellie's done all the fiddle tracks. Andy Brown, he's the one who got me into the Nick Jamerson stuff.
Okay.
So him and Lawrence Nimmons were both in Nick's stuff when I was in it. And they are the drums and the bass for it. And it's been really special having people that I know and trust and kind of already know what their thoughts are going to be before they even really do them a lot of times.
Yeah.
And it's made everything so much smoother and easier.
So I guess the last question I'd have about the new stuff is what are you playing? What are you playing? Are you playing guitar? Are you playing banjo? Are you playing both?
I'm playing both. I doubled up on a lot of the tracks, and if there's some that might end up having keys on them too still.
Are you going to lay those down?
Yeah. That's actually how I paid for my bills in college.
My dad wanted to learn keys, so he started. So then I passed him real quick.
No, that was my mom.
Oh, okay.
No, she actually was a fantastic piano player for a long time.
Played piano in college?
Yeah, yeah. I continued the classic rock stuff and played in a classic rock cover band on keys.
Okay.
Gosh.
It was so fun. That was a very, very fun moment.
So our listeners that want to get to know Taylor Shuck a little better, where can they find you? Do you have your solo stuff out there now? And
yeah, I'm picking up on the touring again and the playing shows and all that. So I can be found on all the social media. Every single one of my social media usernames or handles or whatever is TW Shuck, which is TWSHUCK. So you can find me.
Taylor Wayne.
William.
William, okay.
Yeah. I wish it was Wayne. I would change my name to Bruce, though. And
good thing it's William, then.
Yeah. You don't want me to be named Bruce Wayne?
No, man, you're good. I like Taylor Wayne.
I'm trying to manifest more money. No, so you can find me on social media and all that with that name. And then I'm trying to play a lot more shows in Kentucky. And also in Tennessee, and I'm trying to get more of like the Appalachian region as a solo artist because I've never done that before. It's really exciting.
Yeah.
It's a really different feeling when you're not doing stuff with the band.
I bet.
It's really putting it out there. So,
yeah.
You know, kudos for that, especially with all this stuff coming up, you know, October, November, December.
Yeah.
And January.
Yeah.
So,
well, man, I appreciate you coming back and talking with us.
Oh, I'm glad that you all had me back.
No, yeah. Thank you.
We're going to go out stories.
We're going to go out with Caroline. That's another Hill House song, right?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
That song is one that I wrote for my grandfather after he passed away. He had his first great-grandchild and always wanted to write a song for her, but he had bad COPD, so he wasn't able to like have the stamina to really write a song anymore. And I heard that was what he had always wanted to do. And I was waiting for students at the Louisville Folk School because I was teaching there at the time. And I wrote it. So, yeah.
All right. Well, here it is, Caroline.
Oh, Caroline, oh, Caroline, won't you go to school and grow up to be smarter? Oh, Caroline, oh, Caroline, remember to respect your father and your mother. I wish I could stay, I had so much to offer. Life is hard, but you're gonna prosper, Caroline. Give us so much to be proud of. Don't toe the line, you're doing fine. Remember to count on your loved one like no other. I wish I could stay, I had so much to offer. Life is hard, but you're gonna prosper, Caroline. Your mind. Even though I'll be around for a while, you'll do fine without my advice. Oh, Caroline, oh, Caroline, don't live for other people's glory. Don't be afraid and seize the day. Remember to live your own story. Do it for me. I wish I could stay. I had so much to offer. Life is hard, but you're gonna prosper. Caroline.